challenge for a league title.
What's up, Tifos? Welcome back to another Charlotte Soccer Show this week. As Charlotte FC is riding high, and we can't help but want to talk about them as much as possible, so we're coming back at you with another episode. And it's another entry in our series of guest speakers from Apple MLS Season Pass, Dax McCarty, MLS legend. Welcome to Charlotte Soccer Show. So happy to have you here today, Dax.
Thanks for having me. What a nice intro that was.
Yeah, well, I mean, I could go through the whole litany. I could do the Wikipedia page. I mean, you know, played for FC Dallas, played for New York Red Bulls, briefly DC United, Nashville, Atlanta. You were drafted by the Portland Timbers at one point, but didn't end up. I don't think you ever played for them.
Nope.
Orlando tried to get you. You have your fingerprints all over this league. And you've done so many things. I want to take you back before we get into the show and start talking to some Charlotte FC. I want to talk to you about, let's go back about almost 20 years to Frisco Golf Course, playing a little foot soccer, and found this video on YouTube. Tell me a little bit about your foot soccer career, man.
This is great.
Foot golf.
This is great. Oh, this is back in the day. Oh, this is when the hair was unhinged and the training gear was way baggier.
Yeah,
this was
fun,
man. What a good time this was. My foot golf skills were decent. I wouldn't say great. I think I was a little bit naive. That was a really nice, I think, par. Yeah, there we go. This was fun, man. This was fun. Look at the training gear. It always brings me back. A lot of finesse in some of these shots. Okay, yeah. Maybe I was better than I gave myself credit for. But wow, what a terrible haircut.
Yeah. You dominated that little short video that I found on YouTube. I just searched Dax McCarty and go as far back as I could find. And that one really struck
me. That's before the social media age, right?
So yeah.
That's before you could see what a player was doing every waking second of the day. And so that was fun, man. Those were good times back then. That was when MLS, we were just grinding for content, you know, and foot golf, that was really fun. I think they should have more courses dedicated to foot golf.
Yeah. Johnny, my co-host, he's not here today, but he and I were talking about planning the episode and I showed him that video and he's like, oh man, we got to go play some foot golf. So just seeing that video makes anybody, it looks really fun. Right. So nowadays MLS is not so much grinding for content. MLS content is everywhere. And you, as a former player, have now become a broadcaster. You know, they signed you up and they said, you know, Dax is going to be on MLS 360, but you're basically on everything. You're on 360, you're on Countdown, you're on This Is MLS, Kaylee and Kyle. You have made a great transition because what I notice is you like to just be yourself. You were into the banter as a player, and that has not stopped as you move into the TV world and the social media world. You'll go at it with people a little bit on Twitter. We'll talk about your best 11 here in a little bit. But you are fully yourself, and I think that's what people love about you. What's the transition been like?
Well, first of all, Danny, thanks. I appreciate that. And thank you for bringing me down memory lane right there. That was fun going back, making me feel young again. So thank you for that. Yeah, I have to say, you know, it's always been in my nature, I think, to be outgoing and kind of show a different side of myself when it comes to interacting with whether that be supporters or media members, especially when I was a player. I never felt like I was above any of that. You know, I feel like sometimes with professional athletes, you know, whether it be how someone was raised or whether it just be someone is a little bit more protected and guarded than other people, you know, athletes can sometimes be a little bit prickly when it comes to their day-to-day life. And I'm not necessarily saying that's a bad thing. That's just different personalities for different people. Mm-hmm. I've always been an open book. That's kind of just how I've always been throughout my whole life. You know, my family, they're very outgoing. And so I just always find it unique and I think supporters and people who pay hard-earned money to come watch you play a game, they like to know who the person is, not just the player, right? Because you see this guy on the field and there's so much more to, I think, professional athletes behind the scenes than people really realize. And so whether you choose to let people into your world or not is totally up to the individual. But I've always been open. I've always been, confident in sharing my experiences and my voice with people. And I think the transition, it was kind of a natural fit. I considered coaching for a very brief moment. I do love working with like younger players whenever I was the old guy on the team. And that was something that I really enjoyed doing. And I think arrogantly, I can say that, you know, the way that I see the game kind of as a midfielder, I like to see all facets of the game. I think that would translate into coaching. I just think coaching is a pain in the ass. You have a way worse lifestyle than you did as a player. You basically get no weekends already. You know, you're there earlier now before players to training. You leave later. You're scouting constantly in the off season. It's a 24/7 gig. And I've got, you know, a young family with two young boys myself. And I just really like and enjoy the media side of it. So I wanted to explore that first. And the fit with Apple, it just felt like a natural fit. So I'm really grateful for the opportunity. And honestly, through the first, you know, 4 or 5 months I've been doing it now, I couldn't be happier.
That's great. And, you know, hey, you got plenty of time to coach, right? Right. Life's long. And who knows what next act might happen after a long and successful broadcasting career as well. You've become a favorite of Charlotte FC fans because of all the great things you've been saying about Pep Biel. I'll bring up here. You were the first person to mention him as a potential MVP candidate. And yep. Some of the highlights that have this season have just been incredible. Tell us what you see when you watch Pep, because we see magic anytime he's on the pitch.
Yeah, I have to say, I mean, this is a no-brainer for me. First of all, I think what people have to realize about me and how I analyze players, I think it's easy to see a talented, good player that gets goals and assists, right? I think that's easy to see. But when I try to look at people and players and analyze teams, I try to look a little bit deeper than that. First of all, a big thing for me, a big criteria for me is that you're on a successful, good team. You know, you can be a great player putting up crazy numbers, but if you're on a crap team that isn't even in contention for the playoffs, I'm not going to consider you for MVP or for a best 11 or any accolades, even an all-star game. I still think you need to be on a good team to really be considered for these things. Now, of course, there are outliers. If you have a Christian Benteke who wins a Golden Boot on a bad DC United team, of course, the consideration is always there for players like that. But Pep Biel has just taken it to another level this year. He was a good player last year. I think he kind of struggled, and Dean Smith honestly kind of struggled to figure out what his best position was and where best to utilize him and play him. You get him back this year, and I think there's been way less pressure on him to produce because you bring in a Wilfried Zaha, and Wilfried Zaha takes all the headlines, and Pep Biel can just relax and play the football that he's good at and likes to play, which is a creative style. His passing in between the lines has actually been, in my opinion, the reason why Charlotte have had the start to the season that they've had. Of course, you can talk about the back line and the goalkeeper for Charlotte, and I'm sure we'll get there eventually. But it's this attack that had people really excited. And if I have one nit to pick about Charlotte, it's that the attack has been inconsistent. The only consistent part of the attack has been Pep Biel and the chances that he's created and the goals that he scored. So when you're a Charlotte team sitting on top of the Eastern Conference, an absolute gauntlet, by the way, of an Eastern Conference with five, in my opinion, elite teams, and you're sitting on top of the pile with a 5-0-0 home record and basically all the confidence in the world, Pep Biel is a no-brainer right now for the early season MVP. He's putting up numbers. The numbers match the eye test. And he's proven to be the most important attacker on a team with quite a few good ones. So, yeah, Pep Biel, if he keeps this up, he'll be very, very difficult to keep out of the MVP discussion.
I mean, we love to hear it. And he's an MVP candidate, and he is a member of your early season best 11 that I've got up here on the screen now. For those watching us on YouTube, make sure to subscribe if you're not subscribed already, people. But you put Pep Biel in your midfield, and you also put Adilson Milanda in your back line. So that's a tribute you teased mentioning the back line a few seconds ago. We would have loved to see Christian Kolina in there. I know what Dane St. Clair is doing for a Minnesota United team that I guess they play soccer over there in the West. I mean, none of those teams, you mentioned the five elite teams in the East. I'm not sure the West even has one, But good on Minnesota United. Dane's having a nice little season. But talk to me about Milanda making your best 11 and what he's done for you in your eyes this season.
Well, I could scroll through my mentions right now. I have to say, I knew Charlotte fans were passionate, but my word, Christian Kalina, I think if he ran for mayor, you know, he would win in a landslide right now. Let's just put that right on the table immediately. Hey, guys, Christian Kalina is wonderful. I absolutely love him. I think he's an excellent goalkeeper, absolutely one of the best in the league. When going through my best 11, of course, I'm going to have difficult decisions to make. And this is where the personal factor comes in a little bit that has to go deeper than the numbers, right? So I was considering four goalkeepers. I was considering Kalina, St. Clair, Brad Stuver, and Zach Steffen, okay? Mm-hmm. And when considering all of them, they all had a case, right? And so I could have plugged in any one of those guys, and I would have been perfectly happy with my decision. Now, this is where it probably goes against Kalina a little bit, is that, you know, he's a victim of Charlotte's success and how good that they have been. And the fact that I wanted to get BL in there and I wanted to get Milanda in there, because I think Milanda on his day is the best center back in MLS. And so he still is young and he still shows a little bit of inconsistency at times. And he still is a little bit naive at times. But that back line is excellent. I think with Tim Ream and Andrew Privet, they form probably the best and deepest center back trio in the league. But Milanda for me is special. And when he plays well, he's a one-man wrecking crew back there. You can play a high line because he has pace. You can play through him as almost a ball playing center back because his vision is fantastic. His confidence to find midfielders in between the lines is great. And he rarely loses 1v1 duels. He's got great size, great speed. I just have nothing but great things to say about him. So I wanted to make sure he was involved. So then you go two of 11 players on a great Charlotte team. Could Kalina have been there? Absolutely. But Minnesota United has been excellent defensively. Along with the Vancouver Whitecaps, Minnesota United's been one of the best teams in the league. I needed to find ways to try to include, I think, as many players and teams as possible, just merely for the fact that I want to give shine on as many teams as I can, and in a best 11, that's difficult. So listen, Kalina, he could be there. Listen, people, this is not an official thing. This is just one man's opinion. Kalina should have been there. Fine, I can accept that argument, but at the end of the season, that's when the actual real award will bear itself out. And maybe Kalina will be there. So enough Charlotte fans in my mentions. I love him. I think he's fantastic. Don't get me wrong. He deserves to be there. If I could put three goalkeepers in there, I would. But this is the best 11. I think Dane St. Clair pips it just a little bit because I want to try to give everyone some love. Okay. If they're all on an even playing field, Minnesota United needed to have a player in there. But I digress. I think my best 11 is a perfect encapsulation of how difficult it is to actually pick 11 standout players, because you could make an argument for 25, 30 different players that could be there right now. And the fact Charlotte has two of them, they could have had three, even four. I think Ashley Westwood has been fantastic as a defensive midfielder. And look, as an old guy that was still playing at a relatively good level when I was playing, as a defensive midfielder who isn't too mobile, who just likes to read the game and be a good passer, and be a good kind of quarterback, if you will. I've got a soft spot for Ashley Westwood. So Charlotte fans, ride high right now. You guys are one of the best teams in the league. I have nothing but good things to say about you. Get off my back about Kalina.
I love it. I love it. Well, hey, I'm glad we made our impression on you. I'm glad that you're willing to engage and participate in the banter, like we said. And I also think it makes perfect sense to me hearing you with your playing background, that you want to make sure that good quality teams are rewarded and as many teams are recognized.
That's important to me. And that's what people have to realize, is that if I going through this best 11, I could have had only Vancouver, Charlotte, Miami players, right? But at the end of the day, there are 30 teams in the league, and I'm sitting here nitpicking, trying to figure out how many players I can get in. So could I have taken Milanda out and put Kalina in and put a different center back in? Sure. But then people would have been bitching and moaning at me about not having Milanda in there or other people. So I love it. The passion of the Charlotte fans, never lose it, because that's what makes our league great.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's what makes this whole process work. You talk about the eliteness of Charlotte right now. We're feeling great. We're sitting top of the table. There's some people that are trying to say we're tied at the top with Cincinnati. I don't buy that argument. I think we're number one. But there are at least five teams in here, I think, capable of winning it all. Elite teams, like you said. What do you see when you're looking at the East? And then I want to ask you, you said you have nothing but good things to say about Charlotte. But what does Charlotte need, in your opinion, to stay up top? There's your summer window coming up. There's some depth issues on the back line with injuries now. We've talked about Ajimong maybe not – delivering as many goals as we would like to see. Is there a DP slot open? Where does Charlotte go from here in order to stay on top of the East?
Yeah, I think you've hit a lot of really good points, and your point about the Eastern Conference, as I look at the table right now, is a really fair one. I think that the order will change slightly in terms of what happens in the top four. I think there's going to be movement all season. But there's a very clear top five in the East, starting with Philly, going all the way up through the rest of that top four. I think one of those teams in the top five right now is obviously going to end up dropping out of that. But the top four teams in the East will come from those top five right there. I think if the Chicago Fire add Kevin De Bruyne, that adds a wrinkle into everything. I think the Chicago Fire vault into that top four or five pretty quickly with him and his quality. But my one concern about Charlotte, and this is kind of an obvious one, is just their road form. I know that you guys won on the road in Montreal, but honestly, Montreal kind of dominated that game. And Charlotte, they played the way they normally do on the road. They sat a little bit deeper. They conceded possession. But I think they gave up something like 22 or 23 shots to a CF Montreal team who I don't really rate that highly. And so if you're an elite team in the East, which I believe Charlotte is, I'd like to see Dean Smith open up the gears a little bit on the road, kind of like you do at home. I would like to see him be slightly more aggressive and trust his players a little bit more on the road, because I just the road form of Charlotte worries me. If you look at Cincinnati, Miami, they haven't lost on the road yet, and they have three wins each on the road. If you look on the other side, if you look at Vancouver, they haven't lost on the road either. And so I want to talk about Charlotte as being one of those elite teams. And I think their road form has to improve a little bit, especially when they're away from the bank, because at the bank, they're going to win games. That's obvious. They've made that a fortress. And now when you talk about player personnel, I do worry slightly about you said backline depth. I'm not as worried about backline depth. I think even with Tim Ream playing as a left back, I'm not sure what this injury to Dumbia, how long it's going to be. That's a tough one. But Tim Ream can fill a role at left back. I really liked what who replaced Nathan Byrne over the
weekend. Nick Scardina. I like what Scardina MLS
provided.
Debut,
yeah. I like Scardina what he provided. And so I think the back line, while yes, you could probably use an addition there.
And they did just bring in Jakeel Marshall-Ruddy on loan as well.
Okay, right, so there you go. Yeah. You added some depth. My big question about Charlotte is mainly around Ashley Westwood and what you do if Ashley Westwood goes down. I'd like to see another addition to help cover Ashley Westwood as a six, because I look at your midfield and I see Brant Bronico, I see Eric Williamson, I see Jabril Diani, and I look at them all as number eights. I look at them as all players who fit in that late arriving box runner, run around and provide energy. I don't see any one of those guys being a tempo setter like Ashley Westwood is. Mm-hmm. And I just have a concern. And I know Ashley Westwood is the peak professional, right? He is the definition of professionalism, takes great care of his body. He's always fit and available. But look, he's older and he plays a lot of games. He plays a lot of minutes. So I'm concerned if he plays heavy minutes and picks up a small injury with who replaces him and how important he is to that Charlotte midfield. I'd like to see them add some depth behind him there as more of a number six that's able to cover and protect that back line. But I really don't see many holes in this Charlotte FC team. I think Dean Smith's biggest challenge is to get more out of Wilfred Zaha. And he's kind of been a little lightning rod in the studio in terms of, well, he needs time. His missus just gave birth and he's been traveling back and forth and he didn't have a big preseason. All fair. I'm not going to be hypercritical of him. He scored a couple goals. But when I watch Charlotte, I don't see him. He's not affecting games enough for the type of player that I know he can be. And so Pep Biel has carried the load. Ajimon and Toklamadi, I really love the depth up top with Toklamadi coming in. I think we interviewed Dean Smith before your guy's most recent game against San Diego, and he's thrilled with Toklamati and the pressure he's putting on Adjiman. But, you know, he's not quite ready, I think, to step into that starting lineup just yet because Adjiman does so much for this team. I love all the pieces, but honestly, I think depth behind Ashley Westwood, how do you get more out of Wilfred Zaha? And then I think it's really few questions left to answer for the Charlotte team.
Yeah, I know. I think those are all fair questions. And we take Ashley Westwood for granted so much that that thought had not even occurred to me because it's like he's our captain. He's our sort of rock that everything is built on for sure. So that is a good shout. Charlotte FC is taking on New England Revolution at home Saturday, April 26th on Apple MLS Season Pass. Kickoffs at 7:39. I'll be in the stadium. I can't wait. But for those watching on Apple, make sure that you're checking in with the MLS 360 crew as well as the game goes on. Dax and those guys are going to be doing it. We can't wait. We do go after one more home game here. Charlotte does go on the road. You got road games against Columbus, Nashville, Orlando, all coming up in the next month. So
that's a really important stretch for you guys. That's a really important stretch because I fully expect you to beat New England at home, a better New England team, by the way. So I would say to Charlotte fans, you can be confident, but don't be cocky. This could be a trap game, especially with the form that New England's in. They play in a little slightly different formation now. Caleb Porter has added a third center back onto the field, and New England's going to sit a little bit deeper. Something I'm still skeptical on Charlotte on is just their ability to create chances when they're sitting when they're playing against a lower block. Pep Biel, his strength is being able to get the ball on the half turn and play runners through a high back line, which they've played against at home for the last couple of weeks. It was suicide what San Diego and even San Jose did against them. New England's not going to be like that. New England's not going to press high. New England's not going to come out of their defensive shape. It's going to be a lot harder to break New England down. And then they've got really dangerous players going the other way. Carlos Hill has started the season in a really strong vein of form. So if I'm Charlotte, I'm being a little cautious about this game against New England. I would say that this is going to be a very tricky fixture. But once you go on the road and you play against the Columbuses and even a better Nashville team and an Orlando team that has proven they can score goals, I would say this is going to be a huge test. And we're going to really see where Charlotte stands, I think, after this road trip.
Totally agree. And we can't wait. We're just glad to be in the conversation after, you know, one thing about Charlotte fans you should know, and this is maybe this is just me, but I can't speak for the entire fan base, but when you watch expansion projects like Atlanta United come out and win MLS Cup within a few years, LAFC, a dominant force ever since they entered the league, Inter Miami, you know, after a couple of down years, able to bring in mega stars, global superstars. And Charlotte's just been kind of chugging along as like the little expansion team that could. We've gotten a little bit better every year. Started pretty damn slow in 2022. Yeah. So we feel great about where we're at right now, but I agree with you that it is all a little fragile. 2-1. Comeback win at home against Nashville, that could have been a loss and we'd be dropping like a stone down that table.
I would be excited, but obviously with a cautious approach as well. Charlotte, they've shown some vulnerabilities for sure. If Walker Zimmerman doesn't go out with a pretty scary looking injury, totally freak injury, by the way, no malice involved at all, but if he doesn't go out with that injury, I agree with you. I think Charlotte's looking at their first home loss in quite a long time. But again, you can only get the results that we've seen, and they've shown a propensity to be really resilient. And that's what I love about Dean Smith. And by the way, Dean Smith is amazing. What a great get for Charlotte and for this league. I love how open he is. I love his interviews. I love his interactions with fans. I love his sense of humor. And I just love how honest he is. He's awesome. He's a great, great interview. And he's a great coach. You can just see that the way he sets the team up, he sets them up to be successful. So I think Charlotte fans should be thrilled that he signed a long-term contract and that he's happy in Charlotte because he's a great coach.
Well, you've given me a chance to pop up my favorite recurring graphic on the show. This is from preseason in Coachella a couple years ago. Dino's at the wheel.
Are those real sunglasses?
Yeah, those are actual aviators he was wearing that day. So, yeah, this was in 2024 preseason in Coachella, and we saved that one and busted out at any time. Last thing for you before you go, and thank you for being so gracious with your time today, Dax. Really appreciate it. But just plug your Major League Journeyman podcast. I know your Apple's paying the bills, but this is sort of maybe a side project that you do with a couple of buddies, and it's pretty cool.
Oh, I appreciate that, man. So Major League Journeyman, it's something myself, Alan Gordon, and Dan Gargan, two tremendous journeyman throughout their MLS days as well. We just started it a couple years ago now, and we're still trying to kick on with it. It's just a passion project. We have a lot of fun with it. It's where we can be more open, talk about things in the league that we're loving and things that we aren't loving, and then talk a little bit about the U.S. men's national team, just everything with American soccer, little longer form. With Apple, it's fantastic. I absolutely love the shows, but we really don't get a ton of time to go in depth on some of these things that we would love to go in depth on. So that's where my outlet is, right there. I think we do a pretty darn good job. So any support from the Charlotte fans, you know, if we see our metrics in Charlotte, North Carolina pop up, maybe we're going to talk about Charlotte a lot more. That's for sure.
Excellent. Excellent. Good to know. Good to know. And, you know, for a club that, even though he's only really played for a couple of clubs, sometimes people describe Brant Bronico as a journeyman. They'd be like, oh, Brant Bronico, the journeyman. And like, he's only really played for Chicago Fire and Charlotte, but because he's just sort of that type of player, I guess people call him that. But you should have him on sometime, maybe time and talk about the non-journeyman for sure.
Brant Bronico, great, great kid. I can't call him a kid anymore. He is getting up there into veteran territory, but I'm really proud of him, man. He came into our Chicago team as a rookie, and you know, I didn't quite know what to make of him. And Brant knows this. I was, you know, skeptical about his long-term prospects as an MLS player, just from purely from like
you a weren't the only one, yes.
Just purely from a technical perspective, but man, I can't tell you how impressed I am with how far he's come in terms of. He's really self-aware. I love that about him. And he asked questions and he wanted to get better. And he was constantly he was that annoying kid who was always asking about different scenarios and about how he could improve. And I love that. I don't think we see enough of young players who really want to use the type of veterans that he had at his disposal with a guy like Juninho from the LA Galaxy, Bastian Schweinsteiger, myself. And he just steadily got better and better and better. Mm-hmm. And to see him now thrive in his hometown in Charlotte honestly make himself almost undroppable from one of the best teams in the league, I think it's just a testament to his work rate and to how it doesn't matter what people perceive your talent level or ceiling to be. The harder you work, the better you'll get and the more lucky you'll get. You'll make your own luck. And BB is like a perfect encapsulation of that. So make sure, Charlotte fans, make sure you don't take players like that for granted, because those are the backbones of successful teams in MLS, the Broncos and the Westwoods and the Reams. Honestly, you guys have a good thing going. Fit BB. What a guy.
Yeah. Yeah. He's relentless for sure. Thank you for all the kind words. Thank you for the advice. Thank you for the perspective. And thank you for the time. Really appreciate it, Dax McCarty. Everyone go watch him on Apple. Listen to Major League Journeyman. And we got a long way to go. This season's just getting started. And there's many more best 11s to come. So if you could send us out, we like to say it's Charlotte FC. It's for the crown, baby. Can you give us our catchphrase, please?
Absolutely. Charlotte FC is for the crown. Good luck this weekend, baby. For the crown, baby. I didn't know baby was also in there. I thought that was just like a little Danny spin on that.
Thanks, Dax.
Good luck to you guys.
Done it. It's perfect in the hole. I think he broke the flag. Is he gonna go for it? Oh, that's not a bad attempt. And he's done it.
Yes!